Greetings and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. And now for the most important portion of the program. Today is Thursday, June 25th, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today to talk about more interesting Apple topics, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here as always. And also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin and his hat. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
I'm glad to have you with us today. Now, Charlotte, I want to start with you and something that you wrote and put up yesterday at MacObserver.com about how there should be Apple OS.
Yeah, it went up just before the show actually went up today. But it seems to me like that's the direction we're going anyway, right? The first thing everyone thought when they saw Mac OS Big Sur was like, oh, looks like iPad. Oh, looks like iOS 7. Oh, looks like the mobile device OSs. Mm-hmm. Like, we all thought it. We all said it. Mm-hmm. And then, so there's that. It's clearly happening in the design language anyway. And you've got things like Catalyst, where you can put iPad apps onto a Mac now. Mm-hmm. It just feels to me like that's the direction we're going. I quoted Joanna Stern from the Wall Street Journal in my piece because in her latest column, she asked a couple of questions, you know, what the implications of Apple Silicon, basically. It's going to bring a lot. Mac, she says, Mac OS Big Sur will bring a lot of styling of iOS and iPad OS, but will new Macs ever support touchscreens, cell connectivity? What happens when you stick an iPad Pro-like processor on a MacBook? Mm-hmm. Running Mac OS? Well, one, we're going to find out soon enough. And two, what if it's not running Mac OS, but the chips are kind of all running the same operating system? Surely that negates a lot of the problems, or some of the problems. I understand, of course, that, you know, the technological things around security and privacy and all sorts of other things are very different on an iPhone than a Mac. Like, they ultimately are different devices, but for mostly under the hood stuff, I really don't see that Apple doesn't have the capability to find that, fix that, and do so in a way that doesn't really drive developers mad. And as I said, we've got Catalyst. You're starting to see Macs apps move across those different platforms anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just feels to me like that's the direction we're going anyway. So Apple might as well make it official.
Okay.
4,000.
Now Brian's going to tell me why I'm wrong.
4,173. Hold on. I'm counting all the ways in which you're wrong. 4,174.
This is what's happening.
Now listen. Okay. So like Microsoft did this.
Okay. What?
They did the one.
One OS to rule them all.
One OS to rule them all. Sorry about the sneeze. I tried to reach my mute button. I couldn't hit it. They tried that and they failed. And this was under Steve Ballmer, to be sure. And Steve Ballmer was pretty miserable at just about everything other than chanting developers in a vaguely rhythmical fashion. And to each device, an operating system that suits that device. That is a philosophy that makes for the best possible experience. And if you look at the fact that Apple actually just split off an operating system from another operating system because it was not best suited for that device, the idea that Apple would now turn around and reverse that and then throw in the Mac 2 is just wrong. It's just, it's okay. Not the direction to go.
Except. I know in naming terms, it's done exactly what you said, and you're right. You made to iPad OS from iOS, you know, TVOS is a separate thing, Mac OS is a separate thing, but they're just so similar now. And the, you know, Mac,
but they're not. They're only similar in very surface ways. They have very different functions. And they need to perform in very different ways. And if you start like trying to mix them all so that this one OS is doing all of the things. It's going to make for a bumpier, clutterier, messier ride.
Someone on our Facebook group where I posted this piece said, so toaster fridge OS is a good idea now. And I was like, okay, fair play.
That's good.
Yeah, fair enough. But if Apple was so obviously averse to this idea, I don't understand why you would create iPad Pro, for example, in the way that it's created. The iPad Pro is essentially a touchscreen Mac.
Yes.
No,
it can be when you strap the $300 keyboard with the trackpad on it, Brian.
No, but it's not, because there are still key things the iPad can't do.
Right.
As well as key things that the Mac can't do.
Right.
They are still separate devices.
But you've got Catalyst, which is even negating that.
But before we get to Catalyst, let me, Charlotte, I'm sort of backing you on this because, Brian, on this one piece, because... Okay.
I'll take it.
Well, I have a different theory about the rest of it, but the theory about this bit is that this is the in-betweener for people who... Because, Brian, you've heard me say this all the time forever now. Technological honesty. If you want to look at Facebook in your email, maybe some web pages, maybe you've got an app for your bank, you want to play some solitaire, you can use an iPad and get an iPad as your new computer, and you can do all of those things, and you can carry it around with you from place to place, and it's great. And if you really want to have a physical keyboard with a trackpad, you can do that. And then you don't have to act like you only just have an iPad, like you bought a new computer. Because it costs that same amount of money, and it has a physical keyboard, and it has a trackpad, and now it's a Mac. Because for all intents and purposes, that's what you're doing. If you're that person,
that's literally how Apple is marketing it.
But here's what I think is happening with putting everything on Apple's own chips. And I don't know. The other day, Charlotte, when I said I have strong thoughts about this, this is the thought that I was having. What
Stand
if
well back, listeners?
Yes, brace yourselves. I hope you're sitting down. Maybe first of all, we know, well, I think it is clear that part of the reason that macOS has started to look more like iOS is because a lot of people are coming to the Mac from an iPhone, which didn't used to be the case. So Apple admitting that and making things a little more iPhone-y so that it's a little familiar. If you have an iPhone and a Windows machine and now you're switching platforms, you want it to look like something you already know. So I get a little bit of why they're doing some of that. But what I think is really going to happen is not that iOS is going to come to the Mac. I think part of the reason this goes all the way back to the iPad OS debut, I think Apple figured out that they could do this. Apple figured out that people like that. I hate to keep using him as an example, but Federico Vittici really wants to be iPad first. If not iPad only, our own Andrew Orr tends to be very iPad basically only. And I think what Apple has figured out is if Apple's putting their own chips in everything, then it means that once they figure out how to do all this stuff on macOS, then iPad OS can really get unlocked and turn the iPad into a really amazing device that will do an awful lot of things going forward. That's why I think iPadOS became a separate thing.
Two.
That's my theory.
I might have already used that this week. This week, but to turn to the immortal Moon Unit, Zappa, gag me with spoon.
Oh no.
Okay. Because you don't think the iPad's going to get more awesome? Because I do.
Well, I'm sure that it will, but it's not. That's not why Apple moved the Mac over.
No,
to,
I don't think that's
Silicon.
Why. I think it's a bonus. I think part of what's happening by doing this is since they have to figure out how to do all the real computer stuff on their own A series chips, that stuff's just going to trickle down.
I don't even think that's much of an issue. I don't think the fact that Macs have been running on Intel has held the iPad back in any way whatsoever. I mean, they've been sharing this code base since the original iPhone OS,
right?
And moving the Mac to Apple Silicon is all about Apple having control and Apple having control over money as well as performance, as well as all of the other benefits to go along with Apple making its own processors. And I believe that Apple remains committed to you know, making the best OS for each device possible. This move to iPad OS is the indicator. The move of Mac OS to ARM is not the indicator.
No, I don't think it indicates it. I think it's a side benefit. If they have to figure out how to do all of this on Apple Silicon in the first place, then why couldn't more awesome stuff come to iPad OS?
There's only one thing that's...
Hold on, Charlotte. Brian has to go get a whole nother spoon to gag with.
No, but there's only one thing that's putting me off my own theory, and it's this. We've just ended the era of Mac OS X.
Ten.
X.
Ten.
I've got an iPhone XR.
Ten.
And
definitely 10. It's definitely 10. Apple calls it 10. Apple says Mac OS 10. We have to say Mac OS 10 because that's what Apple says.
So we've just ended Mac OS X, and it's taken 20 years to get to this point. Like, in computing terms, nearly 20 years is a long time.
Yes.
The likelihood of Apple changing the name again, or changing the operating system substantially, you know, both marketing and technological terms, in 20 months, say, feels like the chance of that in reality to me feel very slim. Things are getting more unified, and I don't just mean in design terms. And so, for me, this is the obvious. It seems like this is the end point we're moving towards. People, I hosted after WWDC keynote, I had the pleasure of moderating a panel where some developers and were talking about kind of what we just heard. And there were people, we were all talking about, you know, will there be touchscreen Macs and would you use one?
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications of, the new operating systems? And there were a few people joking around saying, haha, Apple OS.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that is inconceivable, I don't think.
No. I don't think it's inconceivable, it doesn't seem like a smart move, I guess.
Here's my platitude for this ridiculous idea.
Okay.
Face is a ridiculous idea.
This is fair. No, that's completely fair counterpoint. Charlotte's reasoning there is absolutely impeccable, but here is my platitude. I could see Apple OS for iPhone and Apple OS for iPad and Apple OS for TV and Apple OS for Mac. From a marketing standpoint, I can see it. From an underlying technological standpoint, I do not see it.
Well, we kind of already have that. We just don't talk about it, right? Because they all come from the same kernel.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, there's that.
From that standpoint, we do, for sure. But I mean, like having this one named operating system could make sense if they did it that way, but it's not going to be a one OS to rule them all. That would be just such a backward step in terms of making the best devices possible.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get back into Charlotte, your latest round of telling Brian why he's wrong, I'd like to take a minute to talk to you all about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is iMazing. iMazing is an iOS device manager, which gives you unmitigated control over your iOS and iPad OS data. You can back up and manage everything that goes on your device. You can manage all of those backups. And as a tool, it's super great. As I've said before, you've heard me talk about it. You've heard Dave talk about it. There's a lot of iMazing fans around TMO. And now this spring, iMazing has released a tool called iMazing Configurator, which allows you to do the same thing in giant batches. So if you have, say, 20 iPod touches or 20 iPhones that all need system updates. If you've ever done that with one device, you know it can be a lengthy process. And now imagine you have to do like 20 of them. You can do 20 at a time. You can apply updates. You can apply profiles. So you can put in, for example, a Wi-Fi network and pre-populate the Wi-Fi network and password very easily across all those devices. You can run battery diagnostics and do lots more. It's MDM aware, and it's compatible with devices that are already supervised via DEP. You can request a free trial at imazing.com/configurator. Again, go get your free trial at imazing.com/configurator. And we'd like to thank iMazing for sponsoring the show today. So, Charlotte, you can go back now to telling Brian how he's wrong.
Or noting the flaws in my face.
Take your pick. There are a number territory. Of options here. Yeah,
no. They're the legitimate territory.
Pete, I've seen comments on the article, like people having it's an interesting discussion. And I think, and it also goes to the heart of Brian's point, that you do need to tailor some parts of the experience to the specific device. And of course, that's yes. correct. In the same way that Apple reinvented the cursor and the pointer for the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that, but it feels to me that that's all going to be part of one of the same thing, if that makes sense.
I think it could be.
Yes, the things you might be able to, you'll interact with, say, let's assume there's no touchscreen Mac for the moment. Okay. So yes, the pointer on your Mac Pro or MacBook Pro will look different to the pointer on your iPad Pro.
Okay.
But I think it will all be called and essentially be a thing called Apple OS. And I think users would understand that. I think developers are more than capable of coping with that. I would love to hear from developers, actually, if it would make their life easier or more difficult.
By all means, please let us know. Observations at MacObserver.com.
I don't know the answer, but...
So listen, Charlotte. John Martellaro and I have a fantastic, fantastic track history of making bets about how wrong he is.
This is so true.
And actually, I say that, and I think we're probably mixed on who, you know, like we both won those bets. My question to you is, what is our bet?
Yeah, now that's a good question.
Okay.
No, it's a very good question, because you'll know in the article, I wasn't brave enough to put a timeline on. Well, I joked about WDC 2021.
Yeah. Well, that's. I mean, I wouldn't. I won't do that to you. That's. I'm gonna win that bet. Like.
No matter what.
I'm gonna win. Yeah. That's just not even.
Yeah.
Fair.
No.
He's gonna win that bet so hard.
Yeah. I did put in the caveat that seems, joking aside, that does seem unlikely, given that for the first time in 20 years we've just had a new Mac OS. Like, the idea that they're gonna blow everything up and start again in any fundamental way, I imagine, is unlikely. But, well, hang on. So the transition to Apple Silicon is 2 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Although we're expecting the first devices this year.
End of this year, I think. So like 6 months from now? Yeah. Although,
right, think about it.
For Apple's
think
about view it. Of 2020, maybe it's February.
I think Apple OS... You could have Apple OS announced at WWDC. What would be the first WWDC at the end of the transition to Apple Silicon?
Well,
2022, probably.
2 years from now, that's, if the transition's going to take 2 years, then 2022 would be the transition is done. So,
and here's
our next move.
Here's the new operating system for it, now that you've got all your
devices. All right, so you're telling me that you're willing to put up something as a stake in a bet, arguing that WWDC 22, I'll give you till the end of 2022, that Apple is going to release a single operating system called Apple OS that runs on all its devices. That's what you're going to bet.
What happens if I get the principle right and the name wrong?
Principle. Well, actually, the name makes a lot of sense. The name is the thing that makes the most sense about your argument.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, for sure. Well, Apple OS is in keeping with many of Apple's marketing moves.
Yeah.
But I'll give you till the end of 22. That Apple is going to release the One OS to rule them all for all devices. They're no longer separate. It's just One OS.
I think it could be announced at WWDC 2022.
Announced at WWDC 22. What are you willing to put up for this woman?
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to think about this.
All right, we'll stay tuned.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll figure something out.
John and I always bet dinner.
Yeah.
Steak dinner.
Nothing would make me happier than you buying me a steak dinner, Brian. But would you buy me the flight to San Jose as well?
No.
Listen, if I'm able, because the world is not collapsed by WWDC 2022, to have dinner with you in San Jose.
Actually getting together to pay off the bet is always has to be amorphous. You know, John's travel is
immaterial,
is limited. Yeah. So, you know, it would be when we could, but at that point, a dinner is owed.
Yes. Done. It's really more just one of you gets to lord it over the other that dinner is owed.
God,
that's really the important part.
I cannot wait for you to owe me a steak dinner. This could be fantastic.
I'm excited for dinner.
This is the suckerest bet I've gotten someone to sign up on in a long time.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. I'm so excited to be right.
So now I have to go write Brian's bet nap so that he can keep track of all these steak dinners. Yes.
But now we need an additional option in this app for additional users. additional tracking.
Well, that'll be 2.0. This is just for you. This is a bespoke app just for you to keep track of all the dinners you are owed. That's really what it
is. Yes.
So, okay.
Yes. So. Finally the world has come to its senses on what is important. Finally.
Okay. All right. If you also wish to take up one or the other of these goofballs on this bet, you can do so by writing to us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. None of these things are legally binding. Just know that going in. All right.
No, stake is legally binding, let me tell you.
Yeah, no, I meant if you leave a comment on the show notes, that's not legally binding. I'm not talking about the two of you. I'm talking about people who want to get in on this. So thank you both for being here. Charlotte, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to have dinner with Brian.
Brian, thanks for showing up with your hat and your face to do the show.
However flawed one or both may be, you are very welcome. Thank you for having us.
I'd like to point out for people who cannot see it, the hat is in fact perfection, just so you know.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. Hopefully, I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.